Hello and welcome to Exceptional Undergrads, a podcast where we identify young adults that have achieved exceptional levels of success at a young age. My name is Jack, and my job is to explore their tools, actions, and habits to provide practical advice for you to use on your journey to becoming successful. I strive to provide listeners with inspiration that can be applied in your own lives, as I believe it is within the capabilities of any young adult to achieve exceptional levels of success at a young age. Now let's jump in and learn some practical advice from the dorm room next door. Today I welcome Quentin Barrill to the show. Quentin is currently a senior at High Point University, mere weeks away from graduation. Originally from France, Quentin has moved all around the globe, eventually landing at High Point University for the past 4 years. During his time at High Point University, Quentin has become synonymous with the school's entrepreneurship program. He is a former co-president of the club, who has not only started many of his own businesses, but has also spent countless hours helping many other students further their entrepreneurial endeavors. Quentin is truly a stand-up guy who loves to learn and challenge himself daily. It was a blast having him on the podcast and getting an insight into his mindset. In this episode, we covered a lot of insightful topics. Expect to get an inside look on Quentin's thoughts on why you should set milestones instead of goals, his new 100-day challenge he calls a gong, how reading books has changed his mindset, and much more. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Quentin Barrill. Quentin, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jack.
Awesome. I'm glad to have you here. Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Thanks for having me on the podcast, first of all. My name is Quentin Barrill. I am fortunate to have lived in 6 countries across 4 continents and ended up in Atlanta, Georgia, where I currently live. And I go to school at High Point University. I'm a senior here, and I'm 4 weeks away from graduating. And I've learned a lot about mindset over the past few years. I've been really involved in entrepreneurship, building my own companies. I have a company called Loi, and my tagline is saving you time by spending mine. But this semester, I've been really focusing on my mindset, my habits, and that might be the piece that I take away the most from college. And so I'm super thrilled to be on your podcast.
I'm so happy to have you here, honestly. It's fantastic. I can't wait to dive into a whole bunch of stuff.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be fun. We'll start here with this piece that I have from my notes app. I love writing things down. In September, I'll tell you a very quick story actually before we get into
Please.
It. In September, I started writing down basically anything that came to my mind in my notes app. I use Google Keep, so I guess I'm a little bit fancy. I'm not as crazy as everybody else using the iPhone's notes app, but Google Keep. So I just throw a whole bunch of stuff in there. Mm-hmm. Anytime I'm working, I just think and just kind of throw anything in there. I noticed that writing things down is super cool because I get to look back on stuff and share things with you and anyone on the podcast. So I'll shoot you straight here.
Okay.
I'm just going to read it.
Please.
Give you a little question. We'll start it off.
All right.
All right. Most people actually don't care that much about you. Stop worrying about what they think. They aren't even trying to pursue their dreams. What has been your biggest motivator to pursue your dreams?
Absolutely. You know, the first thing that comes to mind before your question is having high expectations for other people. And that's been like a huge struggle. I have a lot of friends that, you know, I look up to and they've built things or they're working towards something. They have dreams and I'll have super high expectations for them. And it doesn't pull through, and I'm disappointed. So absolutely going back to what do I do to stay on my path, I think the most important part of it is knowing what your why is. You know, I learned my sophomore year what I thought my why was, and it always changes and it's okay. But there's also a point of never having goals, but always having milestones. Because once you get to a goal, you're there and you kind of have this identity crisis. I've achieved it. What now? But if you have milestones, it's like, great, I achieved this. I am somewhat successful because I got to this point. I can celebrate because I'm here, but I'm just on my way. And so instead of turning into, you know, relaxing, it turns into motivation. So that's how I go about my goals.
That's an interesting take right off the bat. I like it.
It's very specific.
It is.
Yeah.
How are you able to establish this mindset of milestones rather than setting goals for yourself?
Oh my God. This would be a story time because I don't remember where I learned this. I would tell you it was my freshman year. And now I'm realizing how much has happened during these 4 years of undergrad. I learned this from someone else. And they said, you know, stop setting goals. They're stupid. Set milestones because you'll feel so much better. And I've started to look at them that way. And so I think that's what's developed it over time. I just kind of said, okay, yeah, this is totally a better way to go about it. For example, you know, I've been building companies and things like that. My goal when I started QuickTag a year ago was I want to win the elevator pitch competition. That was my goal. I set it as my goal. That was a huge mistake because I got to it, I didn't win it, and then I said, okay, well, what now? I don't know what to do now. So then I actually set it as a milestone for the next semester, and I won the business plan competition. So whenever I don't put that into, you know, action, it always screws me over. So I think it's you know, survival of the fittest also applies to your mindset, and whatever works kind of goes by and it gets adapted.
I love it. I love it. That's hilarious. The example of I want to win the elevator pitch competition with QuickTag, mm-hmm. correct?
Yep.
I love that product. I thought it was cool.
People
it was before
love it.
Before I knew you at all.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I saw that in the case. That seems actually pretty cool.
It's done well. It's done well.
Done well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very exciting stuff.
But I remember seeing that, and I don't think I attended that elevator pitch competition.
Mm.
You didn't win it, so I guess it doesn't really matter that much for me. But
I got fourth place.
That's up there.
Yeah.
For the elevator pitch competition.
I have competed with a pitch 4 times and have gotten an award 4 times. Yeah. I'm very, very proud of that. It hit me Wednesday when I got fourth place for the second time. And I was like, that's 4 for 4. And my girlfriend said, wow, this is insane. Like, no one does this. And I go, yeah, wow. When I heard it from her, I didn't tear up, but I was like, wow. Yeah. I mean, you know, college is ending in 4 weeks. I wanted to end it big. I wanted to be proud of myself. And getting fourth place, I know you're not supposed to say that because you should always achieve more, but it's like, I was so happy to get fourth place. Not because I thought I deserved nothing better than fourth place, but just it was a milestone. And it was like, I showed my idea, and the amount of people that came back at the end and said, you really have an idea here. I mean, I had like investment bankers doing like $1 billion in like investments and things like that come to me and say like, hey, let me know when you're on your first call. And it's like, holy crap. Anyways, I regress. I digress. I'm French, by the way. So I have some language issues, and sometimes I'll say some stuff and it's like, yeah, that's not the right word. Wait, hold on. Not Urban Dictionary, regular dictionary. Okay, we're good now.
Oh man. I mean, when you bring up languages right now, I want to do this real quick.
Sure.
Aren't you fluent in like a handful of languages, or you know how to speak a bunch of them?
I'm fluent in two, and then for a few of them, like two more or something like that. I know enough to get myself into trouble, but not enough to get myself out of it. So it's like a weird balance. Like just this week I was listening to podcasts in Portuguese about business and entrepreneurship and things like that. I love hearing Spanish, and I love, you know, I was listening to Spanish music all day. Actually, I didn't listen to anything else but that. So that's a huge part of me. But having been French when I lived in, I was born in France. I moved to South Africa. I was speaking French with my parents, but English with everyone else. Then moved to Italy, learned Italian there, and forgot the English because I wasn't practicing it enough. So then I went to Poland, forgot the Italian, got the Polish all the way up to fluent, could read, write, everything. And then practiced English at the same time. Gotten pretty good. Like, you know, as a kid, you kind of remember things better. Then went to Brazil, learned Portuguese, forgot the Polish completely within like a few months. And then went back and lost my English again. When I learned I was coming to the U.S., I really focused on my English classes in school. This was like, I want to say it was seventh grade. Yeah, that's right. Seventh grade, really focused on English. All of a sudden came to the U.S. and within 6 months, I didn't even have an accent. Or for the ones that are listening or watching, I might still have an accent, but I think it's good enough that most people can't tell. But yeah, the languages have been a huge part of me. During COVID, I picked up Japanese. It's kind of fun, yeah. But I only learned hiragana, which is like the basic alphabet. But yeah, kanji and whichever one the other one is, I don't remember. But when I've gotten to the point where like if I see some kind of like writing in some kind of Asian language, I'll be able to tell you what it is between Korean or Japanese or Chinese or whatever. I can look at it and be like, yeah, I know which one it is. So languages have been a huge part. And I think it's also, I mean, I'm going on tangents now, but you know, when you know different cultures and you're also able to understand how certain people communicate or even give feedback, you're able to be a lot more, I don't know what the right word for this, but you can be more delicate about how you're going about certain things. You know, when you get feedback in the U.S. about an idea of yours, you can say, oh, you know, I built this company, this is my product, and so on. And often it'll be like, okay, we're going to give you like two positives, one negative. You know, I love the color, you're onto something, but you need to fix that. And when you go into other countries, you'll realize that some countries will only mention the good things. And if you didn't mention it, that's because it was bad. And some countries, it'll only tell you what's bad. So you learn all that. And that's a huge part of mindset too, because if you can understand why people are communicating a certain way, then you're able to hone your mindset in a positive way that's not detrimental to you. So yeah, I don't know how this started, but oh, languages. That's what you asked me about.
You're coming around. You got it.
I don't know. There's a lot going on in my head, especially, you know, as an undergrad coming to that 4-week deadline, you're being extremely reflective over everything that's been going on. So that's the space that I'm in right now.
So what you're telling me is this is the perfect time to have you on the podcast.
I'm very happy about it. I'm very excited.
I liked the tangent about languages. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you can learn more languages and learn different cultures and how different people act and whatnot, you can connect with people a lot better. Mm-hmm. And connecting with people is going to breed you growing because you have so many different ideas coming in.
Oh my God, yeah.
And if you can learn different things, growing is all about learning different things, mm-hmm, and then implementing stuff in your life and trying the different things and seeing how it works in your life. Absolutely. And what things are applicable in your life and how you're going to be able to use and grow from different things that you implement.
I heard a good quote. I think it's Gandhi, but I might be wrong. Learn like you'll live forever and live like you'll die tomorrow. Right? And so anything that I do, if I can attach it to the fact that I'm learning something from it, I'll do it. You know, when I was in history class in like high school, that sucked. It was so bad. And you told me I could curse. So, but it was bad. It was awful. And then I came here and I learned about history and it made me feel like, oh, I'm learning about what happened in the past so I can apply it to today. And so when it comes to the amount of ideas that are coming in and so on, the fact that I can be aware of what's happened in the past, what's worked, what's not worked, whether it's history long term or if it's in my own life, that enables me to make better decisions. Yeah, I mean, there's so many tangents that go into my head at all times, and that's the reason why I come up with ideas like that. There's something I'd love to tell you about. I did not read at all till March of this year. Never read. I thought books were pointless. I didn't get it. It was like 5 to 6 hours to read a 250-page book where I could just watch a masterclass for 40 minutes, which I did. That's how I started my year. I was watching masterclasses, Richard Branson, Sarah Blakely. For me, two of the most impactful masterclasses out there. Especially Richard Branson. But anyways, I thought books didn't matter. I went on a cruise. I was told I wasn't going to have Wi-Fi. And I remember a couple weeks before, I had like a book on a bedside table. I think it was at my girlfriend's place. I was like, okay, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to pick up this book and start reading. And I did. And I fell totally into it. And I'm on track to reading 12 books by the end of the year. I've already read 10. And I didn't even read all summer or whatever. So I'm extremely proud of that. And so she told me about one book that she read. We did a trip in Europe together. She picked up a book when she was in Britain called Focus. I'll have to get you the author. But what the author talks about is you basically look at your life like a garden, right? So every single plant in that garden is going to be an area of your life. So it can be your education, could be your career, your family life, your friends, whatever it is. Every plant has a category. And in a garden, you don't want to like flood one plant, not get water to the other ones. And you also will tend to have plants that are growing more than the other. And so if you can look at your life like a garden and understand what plants are growing faster than the others or not growing enough, then you can focus on that plant. So say you've got a lot of things going on with your career. You're working really hard. You're pulling 95 hours a week, but your friend's side and your family side is like awful. The plant is dying. It's that bad. And sometimes you're like, okay, well, I need to rebalance the water and how, and the water is the time and energy that you put into things. And sometimes, you know, you'll have like some kind of weed next to a plant. So it's like, okay, my friends, and then I assume that video games aren't actually a plant, they're a weed. So let's pull that weed out and say like, okay, this is detrimental to this plant. It's taking up all the energy. So anyways, the author talks about, you know, focusing on all those different areas of your life as if it was a garden. And once you figure that out, you should look at the plant that you really want to focus on and do drip irrigation. And you do that through 100 days where you're going to do one habit for 100 days that focus on that plant. Now, to be honest, my garden, freaking bulldozer went through. It was so bad. Like, caterpillar, like, boom, nothing left. It wasn't that bad. But to me, I was like, holy crap, like, what is this? Like, I'm staying in bed till 9. I'm watching social medias all day. I'm not happy with what I'm doing. And everyone here was like, dude, you're like on top of your stuff. Like, it's crazy. I'm like, no, you don't understand what's actually going in my head. Like, when I come home, I'm still in my space of working because I love working, and I'll like go back to the space and I can't separate the two. And so my like family and social life is down the drain because I'm always thinking about it. And so I can't be present. Anyways, so I said, okay, I'm not going to do only one habit for 100 days. I'm going to do 4 at a time. And so this was 99 days ago. So tomorrow is day 100, which is a huge anniversary. And I'm going into another 100 days because I loved it so much. What I happened to do is I said, okay, I'm not waking up when I should be. So every day I'm going to wake up by 8:25 in the morning. The rule has like multiple ifs. So it has to be before 8:25 every single morning that I have to have my feet on the floor. I need to set my alarm an hour before the first thing that's happening that day. So say I need to go to class at 7:30 in the morning, that alarm needs to be set at 6:30. And then 10 minutes after the alarm actually rings, I need to have my feet on the floor. So that kind of gets me out of bed. I wasn't working out. Physical activity was just super bad. So I said, okay, every day I'm going to either run a mile or I'm going to work out for 25 minutes. Pick one of the two. And then I said, I need to be more self-appreciative of what I'm doing. So I'm going to write down all the wins that I had for the day, like all the things that I succeeded in and so on. And then the last one is I'm going to read one page of a book a day. So the page of a book was important because it's so little that you'll always achieve more. But the hardest thing for me was to open the book, just pick it up. And so I pitched that to my dad. It was still day zero. I hadn't started the challenge. And he said, you should also add your goal for the next day. I was like, all right, fine. So I did that. It's crazy, Jack, what that thing has done to my life now. Like, my goals have thrown me off the wall into like a whole nother level of productivity. It's crazy. But anyways, I've been doing that. And then on day 56 or something like that. No, it was a 42 or 44. I said, okay, well, I'm actually going to also come up with an idea every single day. So it's day 58 now, I think, whatever the math is. And I've come up with a new product idea, a new service, a new website, whatever it is, every single day, sketched it out, wrote what I thought about it every single day. And today I'm proud to say that I'm, day 60, and like 24 of those turned into a prototype, a website, research, whatever, everything and whatnot. So to go back to your idea, focus, all of that pushed me in that direction. So there's a ton more ideas that are going through my head, but they're a lot more focused. So yeah, I'm also writing everything that I'm grateful for that day. But there are days like I look back, as now it's awesome. I have 100 days where I look back and I'm like, holy crap, what did I do that day? And it's like, okay, did like a video assessment for IBM, tried a co-working space, started a new website, prototyped X and Y. And then I also went on a run, listened to two podcasts, read 50 pages of a book, and had an amazing dinner with my girlfriend. And that's one day, you know, and sometimes it's like, it takes almost a whole page to write all the things that I've done. And it's like dinner with, or like today it'll be podcast with Jack, and I won't even spell out with, I'll be like W/. And it's like a whole freaking list, right? I mean, today alone, it's like, woke up, read my book, went to go-karting, did like six or seven races, won the entire thing, came back, was super peaceful, and now I'm doing like the thing that I've been wanting to do forever, which is get on a podcast with you. So anyways, and more things to come, so it's exciting.
Got a lot to unpack there, but I'm loving it.
Long monologue, I'm sorry, but that's the one thing, whether you keep this in the podcast or not, that's like, when you said mindset, that's the number one thing I wanted to share with you. Because 3 years of entrepreneurship, you learn a ton, but 100 days of self-focus, and I actually failed on day 6, so I went back to day 0 and did it again. And yeah, it's that, if you say mindset, I'm thinking that. Life changing.
I'm telling you, I love that. I love the 100-day challenge stuff. It reminds me of a story that I've told a couple times on this podcast, mm-hmm. because it's very relevant to this right now. And it also happens to be like 2 years or so to the week, mm-hmm. where this thing happened.
Okay.
So my freshman year of college, 2021, November, mm-hmm. my uncles from my mom's side, two of my four uncles, came to High Point and wanted to get me to start becoming more productive.
Okay.
Because at the time, all I would do pretty much was just sit in my dorm room, play video games, I wasn't in like the most amazing headspace.
Sure.
A little bit depressed and kind of anxious and whatnot, and not really meeting a lot of people. Having
this is 2021.
This is 2021.
November. So getting into college.
Yes.
Because you're a junior, right?
I'm a junior.
Right. Okay.
Yes. So my freshman year, I also happened to miss the first week of school.
Okay.
Or part of the first week.
First week of school? Of freshman year?
Not entirely.
Okay.
But I have a point with this.
Okay. Because I'm saying, oh, it's a good academic start right there.
Exactly. Yeah. Academic weapon, as they say. The Thursday of my freshman year, my roommate gets contact traced for COVID. So he got COVID or whatnot. I got contact traced and had to leave the campus.
Really?
Immediately. Okay. So I had 3 days under my belt before I was gone. So I missed the entire club fair, or whatever, the weekend and whatnot of everybody starting and like meeting people and mingling. Right. I missed that. But I came back, met some friends through my roommate whenever I came back and met other people, tried to push myself a little bit, but pushing myself at that stage was not a real thing.
Yeah.
It was kind of just like a very tiny little nudge.
Right. Yeah.
Back to November. My uncles come out. We get Prime. They pitch me an idea for a challenge. And they're like, everyone will throw in $25 and the winner of the challenge gets like their money back and then $50.
So this is you and your uncles and everyone's putting $25 down for this challenge.
Gotcha. Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. The challenge was to start reading. It was a points challenge. So it was, you get a certain amount of points for reading different like pages or time. You get a certain amount of points for going to the gym and exercising.
Okay.
You get a certain amount of points for meditating. You get a certain amount of points for, I think, stretching as well. A bunch of different delayed gratification, like journaling as well. A bunch of delayed gratification activities. I wanted $50. Genuinely. I was like, I have more free time than them. Right. I can probably compound some of this stuff and I'd be an easy $50 for me. It was from November like 14th, I think, till the end of the year. Started going to the gym. I got really into all of this stuff. And I haven't stopped since that challenge started. I have been meditating daily all the way back until then, for the most part. There's one time that I missed. It's the reason why my meditation app is a little bit off now. Because I missed like 4 days or whatever whenever I got sick in January of 2022. Gotcha. But since the middle of January 2022, I've meditated every single day.
Wow. What do you use? Headspace?
Headspace.
Yeah. It's phenomenal.
It's amazing. I love it.
I'm starting my... So the 100 days is called a gong. And I'm starting my new gong on Monday. And it's meditating every day through Headspace.
I'm excited.
Dude, this is awesome. So let me ask you this. When did the $50 stop to matter as a motivation?
I don't know. There's more to the story. I'll answer this and then I'll continue some of the stuff. Because there's more and I like it a bunch. I want to hit on it.
Okay.
When did the $50 stop becoming a motivation? Ooh. I think it was Thanksgiving of that year.
So like 2 weeks later?
So 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Because I remember I wouldn't pay for Headspace.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
I only did the free version. And I was like, I'll just keep repeating the free version. Mm-hmm. It gets me the 10 minutes or whatever that I was doing.
Yep.
It's not that big of a deal. Who cares?
I used to do that. Absolutely.
Then they cut me my access.
Yes.
And said, you have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting on the floor of my cousin's room down in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I went that year for Thanksgiving.
Sure.
I remember sitting on that on the ground, on the floor, not in his bed, not in like a chair. He didn't have a chair. Yeah. So I'm sitting on the ground and I'm going to start meditating. And I decided at that moment, I was like, I really like doing this. I have to pay for it. I'll pay for it.
Right.
I'll pay for it.
Right.
When that was the moment there where I was like, we'll find a way to figure out how to do stuff.
Okay.
It's not about the $50 anymore.
Right.
I actually genuinely have seen benefits from this. That was the moment.
Okay.
Looking back, that
so 14 days
the $50 didn't matter. And that's why I say to anybody who's trying to start doing stuff, go for like 2 weeks or so and make sure that you're consistent.
Yeah.
And after that, it's going to become a lot easier to where you have a routine and you're just doing stuff. That's why I like the 100 days, especially picking a period of time for you to stay consistent through. I've noticed myself picking like a time whenever I do stuff. I usually try to do indefinite stuff and I say, I'm doing this. This is what I'm doing now.
Right.
And my mindset shifts from I'm this person who does X to I'm now this person who does Y. And I do this because I am this person now. And that's how I think.
Right.
So I'll give you an example of that. Whenever I stopped playing video games and I deleted my, well, I can say I deleted my social media, but I'll do the video games portion first. Whenever I stopped playing video games and just decided that I'm wasting my time playing video games and I can have more, I could be doing more productive things like reading or working on business stuff, trying to figure out other stuff. And I've been wasting so much time doing this. And if I just put even half the effort, I'd be able to scale a business or scale anything.
Absolutely.
I had that realization. I was like, okay. So now that you know this, and this is a big thing for me, a huge, huge, huge mindset thing is when you have information that you know that something is wrong for you and you continue to do that thing over and over and over and over again, choosing to do the thing for you that is wrong or is not optimal for you, and you continue to do it over and over and over and over and over again, you have no one else to blame but yourself.
Absolutely.
And I've started thinking about it that way. Not specifically video games, but I think about that now. That's a huge mindset thing for myself, is knowing what to do and making sure that I do what I need to do, which that's a whole different point we'll get into. But specifically for the video games portion, whenever I realized, oh, like this is not, I probably shouldn't be doing this as much. I should be focusing on other stuff. Uh-huh. It's a mindset shift, a completely different thing to where I'm not the person who plays video games. I'm no longer this person. I am the person who reads. So whenever I deleted my social media, and this is the same time that this was October, it was Halloween of 2022. Mm-hmm. So a little over a year ago from when we're recording this. Whoa. From when we're recording this. Mm-hmm. I shifted my mindset and my identity per se. Because if you switch your identity, switching your mindset, I've used those sometimes a little bit interchangeably, but for the sake of this, whenever you switch your mindset to, I am the type of person who does this now instead of the other thing. And on top of that, you remove the distractions as well, like I did for the social media stuff. And I said, I am no longer the person who plays video games and uses social media. I am the person who meditates and reads books. And the same time that I deleted social media, I also upped my meditation time. Mm-hmm. I started doing, I think, an hour a day at that time as well, which I'm used to doing 20 minutes a day. That's easy for me at this point just because I've been practicing for so long. But I switched the mindset to, I am now the person who meditates. I am now the person who reads.
Yes.
I think I have a note in here. I have one for books as well. I think I read 5 or 6 books within like a month, I think. Just because I switched my identity to the person who reads, I would pull out my phone. Anytime I thought that I would have been checking social media, I'm reading.
Right.
Immediately, because I'm the person who reads. I'm not the person who goes on social media.
Yeah.
Taking away the distractions helps a ton, of course.
Absolutely.
And I advocate for removing distractions as much as possible and limiting the variables that you have in your life. But completely switching your identity and being, I'm now the person who does this instead of the person who does that, completely shifted my mentality. And that's extremely powerful.
Oh my God, it's crazy. You touched upon like the 2 weeks and now it's something for you. There's, you know, when I look back at the 100 days, and by the way, a lot of the identity thing that you're mentioning, I learned from Atomic Habits, literally one of the best books I've ever read. And it's also happened to be a book that I read during the 100 days. Now, it's weird because it took me like 7, maybe like 5 or 7 days because I write down everything I do. I record that I actually woke up, that I actually, so I, every single day before going to bed, I have my iPad and I'm writing in Notability that I did that. So it took me like 5 or 6 days to do that. The wake up one was extremely hard, but by day 14, I had my internal clock really well set up. And I was telling you, you know, I fell asleep on the bus, taking a nap, power nap, so good. Anyways, I never nap because I don't think it's useful. But anyways, and so I'm like in the bus, and literally at 3:30, I woke up randomly and was like, okay, I'm supposed to do a podcast with Jack. And it's like internal clock is crazy. And even like I start my day by snoozing my alarm. You could say it's negative or whatever. Every single day I wake up and I know that I'm close to that 10-minute mark where I have to have my feet on the floor. My internal clock is so dialed in. It's insane. And then, you know, from Atomic Habits, one thing that I learned was designing your space to go with your habit, which turns to be your mindset later on. So, you know, I've always done my bed in the morning. Always. It's clean. It's tucked in. And now part of the bed routine is that I not only put my pillows and all that kind of stuff, I have a book in the middle of my bed. And so it's like I can't open my bed to go to sleep without moving the book. So it's like, all right, well, the book's in my hand. Let's go. And I also built this new thing. I 3D printed. I had some switches that I had in middle school for a science project. And 3D printed this mount for them. And it has 3 switches. And I won't go to bed if the switches aren't up. So one of them is my schoolwork. So I know all my schoolwork is out of the way. I'll have one for my gong. So making sure I checked everything off. And then the last one is messages. So I also have a routine on my computer where I just click this little button that I programmed and it opens my notes app with my to-do list. It opens my emails. It opens my LinkedIn. So there's no messages on LinkedIn open. It opens Blackboard because I have all my schoolwork up there. It opens WhatsApp because that's where my family in France messages. I have my actual messages open up and I have another one. But anyways, it's like all dialed in, and it all starts with, okay, I'm making my bed. I'm setting this and this early in the morning. Turns out at night, I go to bed. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I also have my calendar show up. So I know, and part of my internal clock will kick into that and be like, okay, tomorrow I have, you know, wake up meeting at 10. This is usually like a Thursday, let's say. So I'll have a meeting at 10 with some team members, and then I'll go into, okay, I have class. Then after the class, I'll probably have like some sort of meeting show up. Then I have an actual meeting with a professor. I have to send a strategic plan for negotiations. And then I'll have an actual class, follows into Throwdown Thursday for the Entrepreneurship Club on campus. And then after that, there's another event. But anyways, I'll check it and I just know what's going on the next day. And it's all built on having that habit and having the mindset of like, okay, this is how it goes. This is how it runs. I used to be late to everything. Okay, I used to show up to class late. Now I'm like 10 minutes early, and I'm like, all right, perfect. I can read my book now. So I want something else popped into my head. You talked about deleting social media. I want to learn more about this, but I thought about putting TikTok away, and I know what that sounds like. It's like, you thought about it. That's great. Where's the action? But when I thought more into TikTok and what it was actually bringing me, when people look at the algorithm that is on my phone, it's like ridiculously off from everyone else's. Like, I don't get the TikTok dances and like all that stupid stuff that actually I don't want to watch. It just like it will happen to show up. Instead, it's like AI news, what's happening in like future, like, you know, I'll get these like carousels of images and it's like cool startups that just got funded. And so I'm like swiping. I'm like, all right, they're doing like agriculture and they got $4.3 million to start their thing. And it's like, okay, well, is TikTok so bad if it's actually like bringing me value for my day? Because, you know, ideas, I mean, you know, now I'm on day, again, 56, 58, whatever it is, of coming up with ideas. It used to be that I had to have my notebook, which, by the way, is like easy reach from my desk. So I make sure I do it and everything. Again, designing my space. But I used to have to, okay, sit down with my notebook and be like, okay, what am I going to come up with? And now it's like, I was asleep on the bus and I texted you and then I was like, all right, I have another 20 minutes. Some rest would do me some well after all this crazy week that's been happening. And so I fell asleep like partially the entire time. I was thinking about like, okay, what can I bring improvement wise to go-karting? Like I'm halfway asleep and thinking about my idea for the day. Yesterday I had three. I drew up three ideas. I did a process and then two products, if I remember correctly. Anyways, so designing your space and doing all that sort of stuff is crazy. But it all goes back to like, okay, social media, is it good? Is it bad? If it's bad, what can I do about it? I tricked the algorithm. That's what I did. I was like, all right, how does TikTok work? From what I understand, it gives you 10 videos, the ones you liked, the ones you saved, whatever happens. The ones that you enjoyed, it'll give you 10 that are more like that. That's it. That's as simple as the freaking algorithm goes. So what did I do? I went in the search bar and I searched everything that I actually care about. For 2 days, I'm getting only the things I searched for. Because it wants you on the app. So it's like, if you understand that I don't like the TikTok dances, partly because they get stuck in my head. But anyways, the thing is like, okay, if that's like not productive, the app is going to be like, all right, he's actually saving all the stuff about innovation, about mindset, about better public speaking, pitching, whatever it is, or like the business world, I'm going to give him more of it. And all of a sudden I'm like, okay, are social media that bad for me if they're not controlling me and bringing me value instead? Arguments to be made about, you know, time spent on there and so on, but I think that's the bottom line.
I find it interesting that you bring that up with the algorithm mm-hmm. and whatnot for social media, because I had a conversation with my other friend, Jack, last night, and he still has Instagram. He doesn't use it very often. He has time limits on stuff.
I don't use time limits. I mean, I have them set up, but I always go, not today.
Yeah, no. I know exactly what you mean. But he also tricked his algorithm to only give him music recommendations and like a few other like travel things and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I found that so interesting last night speaking with him, and I dove into it. I really liked it. And I find it funny that you bring that up as well. Whenever I had social media, my feeds were not, they were optimized to what I mm-hmm. wanted at the time, but that was me like with video games and whatnot. And there was some good stuff on there as well for me. It wasn't the most optimal at the time, and I just found myself swiping through and scrolling and not taking action.
Absolutely. I tell you what, when I came into High Point freshman year, okay, so I came to High Point August 2020. So after COVID, still a whole mess, High Point University, one of the only schools that stayed open and did a phenomenal job managing the pandemic. So it was phenomenal to be a student here at that time because it was fully in person. I loved it. And it was so well managed. But anyways, I was a triathlete during COVID. I, you know, actually, so May 28th, 2020, I was like scrolling through TikTok, and there's this one video. This is like 12:06 at night. I know because I knew it was going to be a turning point in my life, so I wrote it down on my whiteboard. I had a massive whiteboard in my room. And I guess that has a part to do with my addiction to Expo markers and whiteboards. But anyways, I digress. And I remember, so 12:06 on May 28th, 2020, I'm scrolling through TikTok, and there's one video that shows up. And it's this girl that's like in front of her pool, and she's like speaking to the camera. She says, I wonder if you can guess the sport I do. And it's not an easy one. So I'm like, okay, if I can't guess, I'm going to figure it out. Trust me. So I go into the comments. Everyone's like saying swimming. She goes, not quite. Someone goes, oh, running. Not quite. Like water polo. No, whatever. So I go into her Instagram. I know this sounds like I'm a stalker, but anyways, I'm just curious. And I learned she's doing triathlon. And I'm like, how the heck are you doing triathlon as like a barely 20-year-old? Because she was still, I think, in high school or something like that. Because she was about the same age as me, I remember. And I'm like, how the heck are you doing that when you're 20? Like, aren't triathlons like Ironman? Like, you're doing like a marathon after doing 250,000 miles of biking or whatever? Like, it's ridiculous. So I look into it. I go on Google and I, you know, look into triathlon. And turns out there's like 5 different distances. And I'm like, okay, perfect. So again, wrote down the date on the whiteboard. That's how I know it. And then made a chart with every single distance according to the sport and what those races looked like. And it's like, okay, there's this thing called a super sprint. And you'll, I think you run, You swim 400 meters, then you bike 10 kilometers, and then you run 2.5 kilometers. So like, it's literally nothing. Like, I was a swimmer in high school, so swimming 400 was like my practice. Then biking 10 kilometers, are you kidding me? I'm European and I mountain biked like for crazy because like that was the fun thing to do. And then, okay, yeah, I don't run. I run like a piece of shit. And and so I'm like, okay, well, if that's the only block, I can totally do it because it's like a little over a mile, but that's it. So I'm like, all right, perfect. So the next day, so my birthday is May 29th, right? So 12:06, May 28th, this is around midnight. I'm like, okay, I'm going to turn 18 tomorrow. I need to do something fun before I turn 18. What the heck? So I go, all right, perfect. Tomorrow I'm going to do a super sprint triathlon. And I was like, I have a pool in my backyard. I have a mountain bike so I can go to the park with it and come back. And then I can run the neighborhood. I mean, that's stupid easy. So breakfast the next day, it's like 9 a.m. I tell my mom and I'm like, I'm going to do a triathlon today. And she goes, all right, sounds good. And I'm like, that's crazy because that was not what I expected. Anyways, bottom line is like, all right, perfect. 2 p.m. that day, I dive in the pool. And I do my laps until I'm doing 400 meters. And then I run up the deck and I get on my bike and I bike to the park. I went on Google Maps the night before and like set it all up. And then ran to the country club, ran back. Awful, the run. The run was awful. But anyways, 46 minutes. Wrapped up the race. Next day I turned 18. And then May 30th, I go, damn, I haven't done anything like crazy at 18 years old. Dude, you turned 18 the day before. But anyways, I go, I haven't done a triathlon at 18 years old. So I did another one. And I did the same exact race in my backyard. And it sounds like a lot, but it's nothing. So anyways, by the end of the summer, I had done like 3 or 4. And my times were improving considerably. So I said, okay, perfect. High point coming in. I'm going to continue triathlon. I mean, it's COVID. There's nothing to do. I want to do something fun. So yeah, I was like swimming at the pool and I signed up for a race. I did off-road triathlon. So you jump in a lake at 5 a.m. and you do like a, this was not a super sprint at this point. It's sprint races. So you're doing 800 meter swim, 20 kilometer bike, and then a 5K run. If I have all this, 5K run. And so I did that race. I blew up my tire. I remember like being on my mountain bike. And I had done the trail so many times to be good at it. I was checking everyone's time. I knew where I was. And my back tire blew up. And I've been biking for like 10, 15 years by that point. Because, you know, I learned to bike when I was a tiny little kid. Never blew up a tire. Ever. And so I'm like, damn. Like the only time that it matters, the tire gets blown up. So I'm like in the middle of this forest on a trail in the middle of a race. And I want to yell so bad. Anyways, I walk back the trail like towards the starting line, which was like, you know, at this point, maybe like 7 kilometers back. So 3 miles, 3-5 miles, whatever. And like 400 yards behind me, this guy was on the ground with a broken collarbone. And I'm like, damn, my day could have been much worse. And like all the volunteers on the race are like, hey, you're sure we can get you like a golf cart or whatever? Someone, I'm like, I'm in the middle of the forest. I don't know how you're going to do that. But anyways, they're like, we can get you a car to pick you up and get you back to the starting line or whatever. Like, no, I'll be fine. Like, you know, some people are having a way worse day than me. And I'm seeing like the medic mountain bikes like going against me and whatever. So I'm like, all right, I'll be fine. So anyways, I walked back. But COVID was my triathlon time. I ended up racing and winning some awards in later months. But I was doing triathlon. I was doing three other sports on the side because it wasn't enough, right? So I was doing biking, running, and swimming for triathlon. I was also mountain biking, tennis, soccer, and there's another one. There's most definitely another one. Anyways, I don't remember what it was. But anyways, I was doing six sports. The reason why I'm telling you all this is the biggest trick in my head is to have a choice. See, when I was waking up in the morning, it wasn't about, am I going to work out today or not? It was, which sport am I going to do today? And that's like changed my perspective over everything. I mean, I was working out every day. I was doing up to three sports a day, right, to keep up with it all. But I was having fun because I was like, I got to choose that. No training program for triathlon. I was like, that's BS. Like, okay. I would just check the times and I'd be like, all right, the guy last year got, you know, a 20-minute 5K, whatever it was. I was like, perfect. That's the time to beat. So I just go on a run till I hit that 20-minute mark. And I was like, all right, that's just how I'm going to go about it. But I got to have a choice. And now, today, it's the same thing with books. It's not about, am I going to read or not? Right now, I'm reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad and Originals by Adam Grant. I choose which book I want to read. And so having that choice is like a huge change in how about I go about doing things. So yeah, COVID was crazy, did all the sports and turned into like a huge mindset shift at the time.
We'll speak on this because we glossed over meditation a while ago.
Yes.
Meditating for me, I've meditated a whole bunch for now basically daily for 2 years. I've become so much more present where I'm just completely focused on what's going on right now. I don't have like any thoughts in my mind. That's why if you notice some of the questions that I'll ask you will go off of like later parts, because I'm consciously taking in everything that's going on and like remembering things and figuring stuff out. Just being present all the time, I notice myself sometimes jumping at like thoughts and going on tangents like you've been doing this entire time. I love it. It's very entertaining. And
I'm extremely happy to be here, Jack. You have no idea. Like this is, I've been wanting to have a mindset conversation for so long. And now that I'm being so reflective about the 99 days, that's why I'm going on tangents. But anyways.
Yeah. No, it's good. I like I said, I had no idea that you ran a triathlon. You just casually were like, yeah, I think I'm going to run this one today.
Yeah,
it was fun. You're like, I haven't done anything cool yet, and I just ran another one today.
Oh, we started with social medias. That's how it started.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, we'll go back to social media. But the meditating, just being present
is
massive. And I've noticed that myself, I'll do things like that where I'll just kind of sort of run with stuff.
Yeah.
I did this the other day in one of the other episodes, just being present with everything that's around you.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest key besides like meditating for being present is if you look in your peripheral vision. If you just look in your peripheral vision, like I know that I'm looking at you, like you're making eye contact, but if I look in my peripheral vision right now and I know that like what's going on, and I see the stuff, that makes you present instantly.
I can see the camera and the screen looking at you.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I can see the screen that I have to right here, fine, and I'm looking at the chair.
Right.
I also can see the tripod and all the other stuff over there, and I know where the door is. I know that no one's walking over there.
No.
No one's walking. I'm looking at you, but no one's walking over there. Yeah, I can see.
To go off of the presence thing, I want to add something to all this. I got the chance to be in the room with Deanne Turner, who was the head of HR at Chick-fil-A, and or head of talent acquisition. she's become like someone that I've really looked up to in the past 2-3 years now. And got to talk to her just a few weeks ago. It was great. And I remember the first time I was with my girlfriend. We were at like a session, a workshop that she was offering. And my girlfriend asked a question along the lines of, you know, what's something that you wish you had done better or whatever, is like a really busy executive at a major corporation. And she said, you know, I used to go to my kids' baseball games and I'd be in the stands and I'd be responding to emails. And I wish I had just put the phone down and been present in the moment. And from that, I think my girlfriend and I were not officially dating by then. And we applied that to the rest of our relationship. Now we have our own apartment. That's like the biggest proud thing I can say. It's about being present 100% of the time. And literally when you get to the point of like, hey, listen, I don't know that, you know, I can pull off this date tonight or whatever. I have a lot on my mind. I don't think I'm going to be present. It's like, oh my God, now there's only quality time because you're only fully devoted to the time and you're not running off to other things. You know, in 4 weeks, I'm out of college, moving out of my dorm, which has been, you know, as I said, designed to be a space that's extremely particular and effective and productive. Now I'm going into, you know, a new space. It's my apartment. I can't work in my apartment. That'd be insane, because if I work in my apartment, all my thoughts and all my habits that I have working will become part of my apartment. And now I can't be present with my girlfriend cooking dinner or whatever it is, right? So it's got to be two separate spaces. Whatever happens, right? Whether I end up, you know, focusing 100% of my time to Loi, which is my company, or if I end up working for someone else with a humongous passion for 100% of the time, either way, I'm going to have an office that's mine, a space where I'm tinkering, because it's so important to be present. And I think your environment, as much as it is impactful on your habits and so on, also has a huge impact on your thought process and whether you can be present or not. And you've done multiple podcasts in this room, right? You've noticed every single time people walk into this room, yourself included, your mindset shifts about how you discuss things, how you talk. You know, I'm noticing myself talk way slower. Like, I'm taking more pauses before I answer, where when I'm out there on the campus, where it's been for 4 years, like, people constantly being like, hey, Quentin, how's QuickTech going? Like, whatever. And I'm like, holy crap, I can't talk. You know, and it's like, I can't slow down. So now I'm here.
Yeah, the point of being present is massive. That's the biggest takeaway that I had from meditating for such a long time. That's what I was trying to get at beforehand, is just being here. Like, how are we supposed to know ourselves if we never spend time with ourselves?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a study. I heard this in a podcast this week. They looked at how you're spending money and how happy it makes you, right? So it can be, okay, I'm happy to spend money on a Louis Vuitton bag. Great, right? It's not a fully, like, unhappy moment to spend money on something. And on the other hand, you can spend money on, like, experiences, and it makes you super happy, right? Another region of how you're spending money is when it's applied to something you love doing. And so to me, that space that I haven't met yet, that I haven't visited, is going to be the space where I'm going to be super happy. Putting the whole spending thing aside, there's going to be a lot happening there. And I know that it's good for me, and I find myself because of the work that I'm putting in, but also how it makes me feel to expand that space, whether it's financially or with knowledge or so on. But I'm excited to have, like, all my tools on the wall and have, like, all my books scattered, because it's a space where I can find myself. So yeah, totally. And you can be more present once you know who you are.
Exactly. It's just massive for relationships, like you were talking about with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's massive with just like friendships, just anything and everything. That's something nowadays that everyone, most people, most individuals do not have. They're not here. They're thinking about the Instagram, what they're going to eat, what they're drinking, what they're going to do tonight, anything and everything, anything that's going on. I mentioned this on another episode beforehand about how important being bored is today. We are always extremely stimulated with the way we have internet. We can do books, movies, literally anything. Anything that you could possibly want to do, you can pretty much do anytime you want to nowadays. And there's not a lot of time that we spend being bored or staring at a wall or staring out the window or whatnot. And I think consciously making a decision to set your phone down, or even if you're reading a whole bunch, and this is not to say reading is bad by any means, but setting down a book and just staring at a wall or staring out the window and just, or meditating, like not even, you don't even have to do like a full meditation, just sitting down, just looking. I did this in another episode where I was like just looking at the wall and then just describing what the wall looks like. Like if I look at this over here, like I just wonder why, if I just look at the desk just randomly, and I'm just speaking out loud randomly here, it's like I wonder why there's two red cables that come out of that hole right there, and then there's four whatnot black cables on the right side of the thing. And like I just look through and I'm just thinking, and then the next thing that you know, you've been sitting here for a while and you're thinking of, oh, well, I bet I could find like a solution to why there's like different things. And like,
yep.
I think that that's something that I noticed with you, how there's a lot of, like, you have a lot of stuff going on. And I think I have that in my mind sometimes as well. And I'm learning the ability to try and push this stuff away to make sure that I'm here right now. Like, as I say this as well to people, whenever I'm speaking to them nowadays, or I'm in class or doing whatever, I tell them about how I'm like, I'm just here. I'm speaking with you. I'm not thinking of what I'm going to say next. I'm kind of just sort of
right
talking and like in flow in the moment and present here. That's super important to have. And then to have freeing to, I'll put it this way. When you free up your mind and you are not crazy stimulated by everything and you've worked on it, and it's taken me a long time, and I'm nowhere close at all. I'm better, but I'm nowhere close to being as good as people and just in general. Once you free up your mind, that's whenever you start getting all these creative ideas and everything that you need. And what I like to say, and I think I have in my notes pages, I know all the answers to what I need. I just need to say them. I just have to wait and just let the stuff come to me. And it doesn't necessarily mean just sitting here and meditating the entire time. Like, I don't need to necessarily meditate on all the ideas that I need to have or have come to me. But the solutions to most of our problems, if you wait and just make sure that you are ready to receive the solutions by opening up your thoughts and opening your mind and being present with what's going on right now, that completely changes the way that you're living and how you're interacting with people and how you're scaling businesses. If I put it to you this way, this podcast that I have and we're speaking on right now, the first idea that popped into my head for this was to teach meditation classes at High Point in the rec center.
Okay.
From there, I moved to finding a way to like sell information. I was writing books. I have 80,000 words of a book, if not more, I'm pretty sure. Then thinking of different ways that I can scale this and do different things. And eventually I decided on starting a podcast, and I still have all the content for books, and I have many different vehicles of things that I'm working on for all of this as well. But if I didn't sit down and develop this habit of meditating, to make sure that I'm more present in here. And whenever I'm doing anything, I'm 100% solely focused on this task at hand, rather than thinking what else I could be doing the entire time. Like if I'm speaking with someone, I love using this example because we're speaking right now. But if I'm speaking with you, it's not I wonder what time it is. Maybe I'm a little hungry and like, I wonder what I'm going to get to drink after this and eat because it's a Saturday night or whatnot. There's none of that.
Right.
It's I'm here right now and I'm speaking and I'm trying to figure out, I'm just not even trying to figure out. I'm just, it's flow.
Absolutely.
It's flow. And when you get to that point, that's when you can, that's when magical things happen. That's when magical things happen.
There's a huge difference between being bored and being lazy. And I think a lot of people get it mixed up. And when you get bored, you know, I learned this from Headspace, where I said, you know, you have a lot of thoughts going through your mind. I don't know if you've seen that video, but it's like you're sitting and you're watching a highway with all the cars going by, right? Have you seen this? Yeah.
I know where you're going with this. Continue.
And it's like, you're not going to jump into traffic and try to get all the cars to stop. Like, you let the thoughts go by. And you can look at one a little bit longer and whatever, but like, let the cars go by. On the other hand, that's meditating for you. On the other hand, when I'm in a space where I want to be creative, what I'll do is I'll jump on a car and I'll have fun with it. And then when I'm sick of it, I'll just jump on a different car. And I think that's the bored situation, right? It's like, all right, I'm looking for something new, either it's creative or whatever. And I'll just jump on a car, like reading a book or whatever it is. And I'll be like, all right, yeah, this is fun. And then I'll be like, what's next? And I think that goes to like the whole wins of the day. Like I look back at my day and I was doing this with my roommate the other day. And I'm just reading all the things that I did that day. And I'm like, holy crap, I had no idea I did all this. And it's just because you jump on a car and jump on the other one. And there's a certain level of like, okay, I was bored that day. And I wasn't being lazy. I was just being bored and it turned into value. And I ended up being happy about it. So absolutely, you're absolutely right.
I love the highway point that you made.
Yeah.
Because I think that I didn't know. I knew where you were going with it. I remembered another way that Headspace put it whenever I learned it. Because I've moved to just unguided meditation. Right. I usually just do that. And it's basically a timer for myself. I haven't taken many of the courses in a little bit because I've just been working so hard on just meditating and sitting in silence. The original way that I was taught from Headspace a few years ago was thinking of your mind as a blue sky.
Mm-hmm. And the clouds go by.
Yes. And then sometimes it gets super stormy and crazy and whatnot. But you are the observer of the sky. You're just looking at it. And eventually all these clouds are going to pass and still the blue sky is there. You have to keep that in mind. I love that. The way that you just explained the highway full of cars finally made me realize what I've been doing. Because the times when I need to be creative, or I'm trying to be creative, or I'm just bored and I'm just trying to work, I will have thoughts. Like, it's not like I have nothing in my
right. mind. Right. Absolutely.
You have thoughts. They're like clouds. They will come and go. Whenever I want to be creative and I'm trying to be more divergent thinking or solve problems, or just like I said, I'm staring at wires and I'm trying to figure out why things are happening. I like that. I'm logical. I'm like, why? I wonder what's going on. I'm absolutely curious. The way that you just explained just jumping onto a car, seeing kind of what's going on, then jumping to the next one, going back and forth and doing stuff. That's what I do a lot. I think I finally just figured out. Someone explained to me. Someone explained it in the way that I understand. Finally. I good. Absolutely love that. Because I've always been like, I know I'm like bored. It's not that I'm not doing something that's productive, but I'm in a space that's not me being lazy, because me being lazy would be me sitting there seriously
doing
like
what you're not supposed doing what to.
You're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then there's me being productive. But there's a space in between where I'm bored, but it can lean a little more productive if I do it correctly. Mm-hmm. And if I do it the wrong way, then it can be seen a little more as lazy. But if you find that area, that's good. That area where you're jumping on the different cars.
Yep.
That's huge. I can't, that just blew my mind. Honestly, I can't believe. Wow.
I think it's okay to be lazy, but I think it needs to be realized the impact that being lazy has, right? Because it's like your dopamine levels, right? Like if you have like five really good days and one is like pretty good, it seems like a bad day on the continuum, right? A mathematical way to look at this is like, if you have $100, right? And I make it 50% more, you have $150, right? But if I make it 50% less, you don't have 100. You have 75. So the impact of losing 50% is way worse than gaining 50%. So you have to not be lazy, or at least what is considered lazy should be a lot less than it was before, right? So if you were lazy and you, let's say your laziness level was like, I'm literally doing nothing. I'm trying to picture a really lazy person in my head, but like, no offense to our listener or our viewer, but if you're grabbing your vape and scrolling through social media and you have like still your PJs on and it's 1 p.m., you are the epitome of what I call lazy. Like number one laziness level, ridiculous. Like, okay, now let's say you get better, right? And like 10 days later, it happens again, but this time you're not in your PJs. There's progress in your bottom line of lazy, right? Don't ever get back to the bottom, right? Because then like, okay, it's not a 50% decrease, you're a 100% decrease and now you're back at zero. But I think, yeah, the mathematical way is like, you have $100, I make it 50% better, you have 150, I make it 50% worse, you're not back at 100, you're at 75. So the impact of a bad day, the impact of like doing something negative that impacts your habits is detrimental. And I learned this from Atomic Habits too, actually. Yeah, think about it. Phenomenal. I have when I read, I hate to have to like have a mental note over what I read and whatever. So I buy flags. I buy like packs of 300 flags on Amazon, and I literally just click buy again and whenever I need new. And when I have something that's interesting in a book, I grab a flag at the back of the book. I like, so I started a book. I have a product called Book Tales that'll come out soon. But I also have like a bunch of flags, and that's like my setup to start a book. And it's like whenever there's something interesting, I just, and what's interesting is like mindset wise, I read it, I think it's worth a flag. I go to the back of the book, I lose where the thing that I wanted to mark is. I grab the flag, and now I have to read it again. So I'm reviewing what I thought was interesting, and then I put the flag on. So it's like, just by adding a flag there, I'm less distracted over my reading because I don't have to stop my reading to write something down or whatever. And I'm memorizing it because I'm reading it a second time to make sure I put the flag in the right spot, because it starts where the sin starts. That's where I place the flag. Phenomenal. Anyways, I digress. But that's my book thing. And yeah, bored and lazy, two different things. Be less lazy. Be a better lazy person.
Knowing, this goes back to a point that I had beforehand. Knowing that you're doing something, knowing the effects of the actions that you're doing and still doing them.
Yes.
That's even more massive. Because if you use your example, the person who's with their vape in pajamas, scrolling through their phone on TikTok.
If it was a bong, it'd be even worse.
at 1 p.m. or whatever in their pajamas and whatnot. When they realize, oh, I could be doing something else right now. It's not, you can't get too unbelievably mad at the person who doesn't know. Like, you can't really get mad at them at all because they don't know what they're doing wrong.
But it's person perspective.
Exactly. They're in their perspective, this might be their ideal lifestyle. This is what they want to do. But as soon as they realize that if they switch a habit, and by not doing this, and by doing something else instead, they can be more productive or they can be happier. It pays off. Maybe not like right immediately, but it'll pay off for them like a few days down the line or whatnot. As soon as you realize that the actions that you're taking are not the ones that are leading you to the goals that you want to get or milestones, there you go. As soon as this path is, you realize that this path is the wrong path for you and you continue to go down that path, that's when you have to, even if you realize it, that's my thing, is sometimes, and I'm not perfect, I'll go to extremes and delete social media, or I switch to, I'm trying something new where I have no apps on my home screen to like lower stuff even more, which has been very interesting. I removed like the screen time as well from the side. So I've had times where I literally just swipe and look at my phone and then I just turn it off because there's nothing crazy. Just, there's our little tangent jumping on a different car. But whenever I have times where I might be watching, I'll watch like some YouTube videos every now and then, like longer form content that's good for me.
Yeah.
Or I can learn more from, that's the better thing. But I'll find myself on there for like a while and it comes in my head where I'm like, I could be doing something more productive than this. There's a different task that I can be doing right now that would be more beneficial, even if I'm learning something. It's a time right there when you know. It's the decision that you make right after, like the thought pops into your mind that you know, that's crucial in deciding like what's going to happen next and where you're at. Because I still have times. I'm not perfect with this. And I feel like I'm pretty good.
I'll tell you one thing that I'm doing recently. I still have YouTube. I still have social medias, Instagram and TikTok included. You know my reasoning behind TikTok. You know YouTube has some good stuff on there. The reason why I keep Instagram, it's so boring. Like, I don't really understand that. But anyways, my girlfriend's pretty active on there, and that's part of her job, so I do feel somewhat supportive by having Instagram. Bottom line is, like, I've started this new thing where before I even open the app, I tell myself what I want to do on the app. And that has done an amazing thing to my mindset because I realize why I'm navigating to it. And it's like, okay, it's fine if I want to be on the app because I'm bored and I want to just be lazy. You know, sometimes I'll catch myself like watching a show on YouTube and I'll think about it. I'm like, I was really stressed the past 2 hours because, you know, I was giving a presentation or I had some really like heavily mental stuff to go through or whatever. And I'll catch myself doing that. And I think it's fine. But I think the acknowledgement of you're doing something wrong, but it's like also, you know, now it's also part of like, I'll go to YouTube and before opening YouTube, I'll ask myself like, what do I want to do on it? And instead of having the feed tell me what I want to do, you know, because I see like, oh, Casey Neistat, I like him, which is partly why he's so, you know, successful and people like him, is like, he feels like you're catching up with an old friend because he did his vlogs and all that kind of stuff. But anyways, instead of having the feed tell me like, oh, watch some Casey Neistat, or like watch this cool video of like a lady freaking out on a plane and like yelling at another passenger, and you might get my reference there, or like whatever it is, it's like, what do I really want to do? And then I'll think about it. I'm like, I remember adding a video to watch later, like last week, or I would really want to listen to a TED talk about marketing because I've told myself all day that I wanted to learn more about marketing. Cause I mean, that's what happened last night. I called my girlfriend. I was like, can you teach me marketing? Like I'm at a point where now I'm like, I'm stopped and I'm slow because I don't know enough about marketing. So anyways, But now it's like, oh my God, my screen time is, yes, lower, but it's better. Like, the quality of screen time is much better. So now it's like, okay, I'm watching TED Talks because I'll jump to the watch later tab before the feed even loads because I know where I want to go. And one of the most annoying things for me on TikTok that actually would have me go on the app more often is if it didn't throw me in the FYP, but threw me in following first. Because FYP, I'll just see a video and half the time it's unproductive. It's not something I wanted. Even though I tricked the algorithm, even though I did my search bar thing, everything, it'll still be unproductive. If it just went to following, then it would only be things I cared about. I would spend more time on the app, TikTok would be happy, and I'd be happy because I would get more, you know, relevant content to what I'm actually looking for. So I think being bored, yes. Being, you know, aware of what's going on in your surroundings, 100%. Being aware of what your mind is actually seeking, whole nother level.
That's being intentional.
Yes, that's right.
Your actions. And I love that. I think it's really cool because I started doing that. I write to-do lists for myself every single night before I go to bed. So it's my bedtime routine is like I might wash my face or whatnot. I started doing that.
What does your template look like for that?
For the to-do list?
Yeah.
I'll show you. I can show you a picture. Let me say this real quick. Sure. But like the, it's like wash my face, like get ready for bed, like brush my teeth, like right. Stuff like that. And then come back, write down my to-do list for the next day, which is literally, I'll show you. Oh, I might not have a picture of that because I deleted some of storage. But it's like a small yellow notepad.
Okay.
With just like lines. You know, the big notepads that you'd have that they're always, it's like a big yellow notepad. It's a small note.
Yeah. Okay.
Just one of those.
Not with the spiral, just the.
Not with the spiral.
The tearaways.
Yeah, the tearaways. Gotcha. Exactly. So I write really small on there. And I basically section it off where I just have the date. And then I haven't read the book, which I'm kind of exposing myself here, guys. But there's a book called Deep Work by Cal Newport.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read it, but I know what the concept is. It's basically just a period of time where you're completely focused.
I heard about this book.
I need to read it because I call the work that I have a focus mode. It's called Deep Work. I use Deep Work all the time. I haven't read the book, but
I was at a conference.
I know a lot about it.
In Tampa 2 weeks ago, called CEO, is about entrepreneurs, and I heard about the book there. I heard it's very research based. So if you're into that,
no, I know about a lot of the stuff, and I understand what deep work is. It's it's a period of time where you're basically just fully entrenched in whatever you're working on, making sure that there's no distractions, there's nothing. You're just like in a flow state, essentially. That's essentially my knowledge of it. I need to read the book and actually check on it, like, to be honest. So don't quote me on any of that stuff. But the first thing that I write down always, since I wake up at 5:30 in the morning, I do a little morning routine, and then I start working all the time before my classes. Unfortunately, I have 7:50 classes, and those are like easy for me to get to, obviously, but it doesn't give me that much time to work beforehand. So this next semester I pushed back the classes to make sure I have a block of time, which is awesome. But my point is, I write down in order usually what I'm going to do. So it's, and I have in my calendar as well. I don't put the exact to-do list in my calendar, but I have big things like classes. I have the block of time that I'm working, different things like that. But the to-do list looks like deep work, and then I write a very specific activity. It's not edit the, or it's not, What's a good example of this? It wouldn't be just write this. I'll do a book example from a little while ago. It's not write work on my book or work on my podcast. Mm-hmm. That's a better one. Because I'm doing the podcast now. It's not work on my podcast. It's edit Quentin podcast. Like specifically, like I'm doing this exact thing. So I know. Whenever I get up, I do my routine, or depending on the thing, sometimes I switch it up and I'll just immediately start working.
Yeah.
So it's wake up, start working on the Quentin podcast, editing it, or wake up, do my routine, like with meditation and stuff like that, immediately start working on the podcast, like editing the podcast for Quentin. So I immediately know that. And then I have to-do lists like classes, class one, class two, class three, lifting, I usually say like gym in parentheses back day or gym cardio, gym, you know what I mean.
Sure. For that.
And then I'll have like bigger events for the day if I need something. And I usually just write that down and I keep it out on my side table by my bed so I can see just basically what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I'll do my gratitude journaling for the night, which I have it regimented. I've had it like this for probably 1.5 years or so now, whenever I started taking it even more seriously from the beginning. And I regimented it in a way where in the morning I wake up and I write down one thing that I'm thankful for. So I immediately start with gratitude. Mm-hmm. I do this immediately after I meditate as well. So it's mine's perfectly clear. Something that I'm thankful for. Bam, immediately. And then I write down a phrase. I mentioned it on another episode as well. It's I'm attracting the right people, places, things, ideas, circumstances, and opportunities. I trust and believe they will come to me at the right time.
I love that.
At the right time. I've been writing that down for like 2 years. I know that as well. Mm. And I've seen just by like truly like trusting and believing that it's actually going to happen. I've seen all of that. I've seen myself attracting all of the right people. And that's a testament to the fact that I've transformed my friend group to people who I really like. These are the people who I want. And I've attracted all of them into my friend group. And it's fantastic. Even you can even say this right here now. I've attracted you to come here to my podcast. I had no, like, I remember the time that I pitched you on it. It was in the Entrepreneurship Center.
That's right.
This was a little while ago. I was hesitant to say anything specifically because of the fact I had not shared a lot of stuff with people.
I remember.
We're still in the early stages of stuff. And I don't like sharing stuff because I've overshared in the past. I've mentioned that as well.
Yeah.
Stuff. And I was like, you know what? I think that this is a good opportunity. I should say something. And then I sat there because I ordered Subway on campus. It was later in the afternoon and I needed to eat dinner. And
I remember you left to go pick it up.
Exactly.
As ready 40 minutes before.
Exactly. That's what I was going for. I sat down and it was ready. So I packed up my stuff and left. And I was like, I should probably, you know, when you have that feeling where you're like, I should do something or the intuition or whatever.
A gut feeling.
That's what I had. I was like, I need to say something. I should probably say something. And then a 40-minute conversation later, I have to go over and pick up my Subway. And I remember leaving after like pitching you and whatnot and talking about it. And it was like a very short pitch for a podcast. And it was a probably 35-minute conversation or so or whatnot, where you're just sitting there talking back and forth.
That's great. Like,
wow. Amazing time. I loved it.
I'm glad.
And I remember leaving and I was like, it's taken me, because I would always work by myself and I just started coming this year to the Entrepreneurship Center, which is basically like a study space and whatnot.
That's right.
That we have on campus at High Point University.
Phenomenal space.
I love it. It's amazing. But I would never work in there. I'd always be the person who'd get a room by himself, shut everyone out, and just work on the stuff I needed to get done to make sure that I got it done. And I realized that I wasn't being as social as I probably wanted to. And I made it a point to go out and start working in spaces where more people can see me and I can interact with people. And I was able to, thankfully, be there that day and just be working there. And I remember saying to myself as I was leaving, it's taken me this long to not only start telling people about the stuff, but just work in general in a place where I can meet people. Because by putting myself out there and putting myself in a position to attract these people and these opportunities around myself, it shows you how quickly things can happen. Because I've waited for so long to put myself in that space and in a space where I can meet more people who are like-minded and create opportunities for myself in the moment. And if I did not go there, if I was not working there and if I didn't have that gut feeling and actually act on it, because that's the big thing. Because I'll get gut feelings all the time, like, oh, I should probably go and talk to this person. Mm-hmm. I should do that. And you kind of just like shrug it off because, like, to be honest, it's a little bit of fear maybe sometimes and whatnot.
Fear denial.
Exactly. But I just took it. I was like, you know, yeah, we'll say stuff. Like, who cares? It doesn't really matter too much. And I, since I waited so long to do that, it amazed me. I was like, imagine if I just was like, you know what, I'm gonna do this more often. I maybe would have met you a long time ago, or I would have met other people who I missed because I didn't take that opportunity. And I just notice it more now because I'm taking action on stuff, but I probably attracted all these people like years ago, honestly. And I missed the opportunities because I didn't take them.
Our conversation started because I asked you how it was going. So I already knew you. And so I think it's been in the making for a while. And even like, you know, now that you say all this, it's like, how would this podcast, like how much would I have told you if this was 2 months ago? I wouldn't be at day 99. I would not have learned all this. I'm still learning from yesterday, like what works, what doesn't. And, you know, going to New Gong, I'm changing it all. But anyways, you said, you know, that sense you're attracting people and whatever. Part of, you know, me writing what I'm grateful for is every day I write, I'm grateful for. And then the thing. And those three words, I am grateful for. Four words. Like, I've noticed myself say it more often during my day. And I'll be like, I'm so grateful for this. I'm so fortunate that I got to do this. I'm hopeful this is going to happen. I did FRC robotics. I don't know if you know what that is, but basically in high school and it starts, it's K-12, basically robotics, big organization all over the world. Super cool. I got into robotics my sophomore year of high school. I had done Introduction to Engineering as a class. I went to Principles of Engineering and Aerospace after that. And I was doing engineering for the robotics team. Big, big, like, team. Like, massive six-figure budget for, like, a six-week, like, little robot. Well, robot's 150 pounds, and you build two of them, so it's pretty substantial. But anyways, bottom line is, like, I remember that being a big organization, and I think it was before we went to World Championships, which happened every year. We got to go there because of our level, and it was awesome. And I remember I learned there from my coach, the main guy, and he said, you know, you should really know who's around you, because at any time there's people listening. And we get judges in competitions. So you'll have like 250 teams show up at the World Championships and the judges are walking the aisles and you don't know that they're judges and they listen to what you're saying. So if you're saying negative stuff or whatever, you get a bad mark. But anyways, and it's also about how you communicate. And so he did this thing and all of us, you know, we're high schoolers. So at that point it's like, you know, whatever. But he came up with this story and he's like, well, I want to tell you about this story. And he's like, well, I saw this tree and the tree was like bent, right? And he had sent us a picture in the team Slack and said, look at this tree. And at the hotel, he said, well, I saw this tree and it was really bent. And it was because it had a fortune like attached to it. And so that's a reminder that you should be fortunate. And then after, like, next to the tree, there was this girl. And she had hula hoop, and her name was Hope. So I was like, all right, you need to be reminded to be hopeful, right? And then it was like, and then there was this horse that was like running on the beach. And it was reminding you to be, you know, thankful for X and Y, whatever. But what he instilled in us was like this story. You know, what they say is like, if I give you all the facts, you'll never remember them. But if I give you a story, you'll accidentally remember the facts. So like, that's an awesome way to go about it. And so now I still remember the story. And it was like, when you have those judges walking around, it's like, oh, how do you feel about the competition? I'm hopeful that it's going to go right. and I feel very fortunate to be here. And so going back to like the sense that you have of like being grateful or like whatever words you instill into what you're doing has a massive impact on like how your life is predicted or not predicted, but like, you know, guided. So I really resonate with that one sentence and bring people to you. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to speak on one thing that I remembered, and then I'm going to speak on that as well. I remember I knew that I'd met you beforehand, but I was never like close with you or anything at all. And I knew who you were, but I was like, oh, I might wave at this kid because like I kind of know him. But I was never
I need to work on being more approachable.
But I just remember that at the time where I was getting better, but I wasn't at the point where I was like, I'd feel like I probably don't really need to talk to him. But like, I know him enough where I'm like, I could probably talk to him, but we got dinner once. Did we?
Oh my God. I'm not memorable at all.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
No, we got...
When would we have gotten dinner?
We got dinner with the Real Estate Club one night at Blue Bourbon Pizza, whatever it's called. Yeah, but I mean,
we sat in the corner in the side room.
We hadn't officially met. We just happened to have a big group and you were part of it. So
I remember you at least from the business fraternity, because I remember.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I've known you. I know so many people in there. It's actually kind of crazy. Yeah. Honorary brother. But I remember going through like the speed networking event as well. Mm-hmm. And like knowing you already and just being like, oh, hey, what's up, Quentin? And like talking to you and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there in one of the rooms. It was in Phillips Hall, and one of like the odd things, because it was spun around. It was like a semicircle of a room.
Was I on the other side of the table?
Were you on the other side of the table? Yes.
Okay, I remember this. Yeah. No, because it was like my first time, and I, you know, at those events you either get to be an interviewee or interviewer, and so I know we were both in the same room when we were both interviewees. So I can remember which instance you were talking about. But anyways.
No, it was, yeah, you were on the other side. I was trying to get it and you were already in. But I knew you from other stuff, but I never really knew you well or well enough to where I was doing it. I feel like I don't really know you that well anyways. But I mean, I'd say
you're
now.
Getting to know I'd say me pretty
I'm getting,
fast.
I'm getting to know you. I'm getting to know you now. But it's just my point that I wanted to make was I believe... And I've mentioned this before, maybe not directly to you, but I mentioned it on one of the other episodes. I believe that everything that you've gone through, all the experiences that you've had throughout your entire life has made you the person who you are today.
100%.
And if you, I wouldn't change anything that's going on, especially right now, even in times of my life that were extremely hard to navigate, because I learned so much from them and they've made me who I am today. And I am extremely happy with the person who I am right now. And maybe like your point earlier of if I'd been talking to you about this 2 months ago, we probably wouldn't have had any of this stuff happen. If I had met you and we really like maybe we actually became friends, or something happened where we did not become friends or whatnot, or a plethora of different options of things that could have happened, me meeting other people or meeting anyone, any sort of experiences or actions or things that happened in the past, we might not have been sitting here right now. We probably, actually, I would say it this way. We might have, but we probably would not be sitting here right now doing all this stuff.
No.
And speaking. And that's, there's some beauty in that though, because you think about it, if I didn't have the idea to teach meditation classes for whatever reason, because I'm just so passionate about it. That's the reason.
Yeah.
I've seen how much it's helped myself. If I didn't have that idea, I would not have this podcast now, because everything's connected back to that.
That's right.
And if I would never have had the idea of the meditation if I wasn't meditating the entire time. And if I didn't have my uncle's come to High Point and tell me all about this challenge and whatnot and what I'm doing. And all of that would not have happened and you keep going all the way down the line and it's the butterfly effect for one thing, because you went to Burger King at 6 years old and ordered chicken nuggets and not a burger.
I'll tell you what, when I was in the fourth grade, I just did a pitch on this. in the fourth grade, I remember one night I took out a piece of paper and an orange crayon. You know this from my pitch. And I drew what I called the orange juice making machine. And between that time and today, so much has happened that made me exactly who I am. And I realized that like a week before my pitch. That day that I drew that orange juice making machine, that was in Poland, right? A few years later, I was like, maybe fifth grade. And I had this idea for a recycling competition for the entire school. This was a massive school, like over 2,000 people in Brazil. I, as a fifth grader, built a team of four people to create a school-wide event about recycling. And we had like, I can't tell you how many, it might have been 50, it might have been hundreds of students that built things out of recycled materials. So you had like kids that did like fly traps with water bottles. And then you had kids that had like so many milk jugs like collected from neighborhoods and whatever that they had built a whole theater, like a puppet theater, right? You had kids that like built presentations on like how to pick up all the plastics from the oceans. They had, you know, before Ocean Gate was even a thing, not Ocean. Oh my God, not Ocean Gate. What's it called? The thing that like picks up all the plastic. It's an awesome organization. Anyways, they have two boats and they pull a net out in the Pacific and they grab all the plastics. I'm going to read up on that to make sure I know my stuff. Anyways, but they had pitched that like back when I was in the fifth grade. So this was like years and years ago. Super interesting things were pitched in. So that was like Brazil. And then coming to Atlanta, like I took graphic arts classes, I did engineering, I did robotics. You know, I really got an understanding of what makes a good leader. In my opinion, I'm still working heavily on that, but like what makes a good leader in an organization thanks to robotics, what's it like to be on an exec team, that like all comes to what I am today. Like every product, like I've designed baby bottles for hours and hours for years. I've done like my own products and so on. And like, you know, Wednesday I did the math and it's like, okay, thousands of hours of prototyping, over 10 years of passion because I started so early. And, you know, we've done like hundreds of 3D models and prototypes and all that kind of stuff. To the point where like, now I'm looking back and I'm like, how much stuff did we do? I mean, so when I was in high school, I had to figure out whether I wanted to continue my robotics journey and like be an engineer, go to like some engineering school, or if I wanted to do something more like businessy. So I was like, all right, I created a shirt when I was in high school. I'm trying to figure out if I can do business. People like the shirt. Let me make 40 shirts and sell them. And I fell in love with the process. That's how I know I like something, because I don't like the results. I like the process. That's how I know I love it. And sold the 40 shirts and like that. And what I loved the most was like keeping up with the Excel. Like I had everyone's phone number. I was like making sure what size they wanted, whatever. I also learned some sales tactics through that. But I was like, all right, I like business. I'm going to do that. And like a month ago, I was like, I should probably do the math because the business still runs. I put $185 into buying 40 shirts and I did the math and we sold over $3,000 worth of inventory, zero marketing. Like the shirt is just up there on like some random drop shipping, like made to order website, over $3,000 worth of crap at discount, right? So like over 5,000 if you really do the math. And it doesn't sound like much, but it's like, this was like zero marketing. Like I've never marketed the thing ever. I might have posted a link when I was back in high school, but nothing. And we sold like, I was like looking at the list of things we sold to do the math. And I'm like, we sold mugs. We sold tapestry. We sold pillows, tank tops, stickers, notebooks. What the heck are people doing with like a panda notebook? And it's like, yeah, I guess they really like our design and they want that crap everywhere. crap, you know, I should be more careful with my words, but it's like, you know, when I look back at the designs, I'm like, dude, you could have put a little work in. But I like being minimalistic. I love geometry. And so I was like, all right, I want to play with that. But I would still buy a lot of the designs for myself. Actually, I need new shirts, so I might do that. But anyways, bottom line is like, yes, everything in your path has made you who you are today. 100%. 100%.
Yeah, I love that. I just love looking back, especially with journaling as well. Journaling is me writing down. I've structured it so it's a lot of like gratitudes, like I'm thankful for this traction statement at night. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for this. Three thankfuls. And then whatever my like goal, like my main goal or whatever is that I have, I remind myself of that by writing it down all the time. So it's regimented in that way. But I love being able to look back at previous journals or looking through like your camera roll or whatever or something like that. That's a good way to do it. I just like the journal is cool because I can like actually read what I wrote on the specific day, because you don't take pictures of stuff every single day unless you're one of our friends. He takes one every single day. He does like a 1 second a day or whatever thing.
Of what?
Whatever.
Oh, like a B-reel kind of thing?
Basically, yeah. It's like almost like a B-reel, I guess he's saying. I never got into B-reel.
It's one of our friends?
Jack. Jay.
Oh, yeah. You know Jack? Gotcha. Yeah. I don't know that. Okay.
Or he takes... I learned this the other day. He would do that because he was on the podcast. He was one of the people I've already interviewed previously.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And he said... He was begging me to give him a clip from the podcast, just a second of it,
right?
Because he forgot to take his 1 second a day clip at the podcast.
How many days has he been doing that?
Since high school or something.
That's ridiculous. I had no idea he was doing that.
I think that's what it was. It was something. It was something ridiculous.
I'm gonna ask him.
We need to ask him about that. I can look at it. I'll probably look back and see a clip if it's in an episode with him. Whenever I go with him and edit the stuff.
Okay.
If I do it, I'll text you and I'll tell you the date.
Where can I find all this?
The podcast and stuff, it's out anywhere.
Really?
Like Spotify, Apple Music, everything's awesome. Already out right now. Or Apple Podcasts, not music.
The viewer knows this already because you're obviously finding all this. But
exactly.
I didn't ask you this before walking in. So
yeah, I've got a full website up, exceptionalundergrads.com. I think I showed you that when I was building it.
Great website.
Thank you very much.
Yes. I love the yellow.
It's orange.
What?
Yep.
It's like a yellow orange.
It's an orange orange.
Really?
Yeah.
What the heck?
It's all right.
It is. You're right. It's not that yellow.
No, it's orange.
Wait.
And then I've got, you can look it up.
It's like this orange.
It's brighter than that.
Really? Okay. I'll check it out.
I've got the website. I've got Instagram, TikTok.
Okay.
Whatever the other, YouTube.
I need to follow Twitter. All that. You included.
Yeah, there you go. I appreciate you said you didn't do a lot of marketing, but you're clearly learning from the TED Talks.
Personal
so
shout outs.
I appreciate that.
And there you have it, folks. We hope you enjoyed another episode of Exceptional Undergrads. If you found inspiration in today's episode, remember, your journey to excellence starts with one action. Head on over to our website, exceptionalundergrads.com, for more resources and to stay connected with our community of exceptional achievers. As we bid farewell to our exceptional guest, Quentin, and the entire Exceptional Undergrads community, I leave you with these key takeaways. Knowing your why keeps you persistent. Setting milestones help you celebrate victories along the way and continue to push past your limits. 100 days of self-focus will teach you a lot. A great way to start doing great habits is to have a choice between multiple good habits, like how Quentin was choosing between the sports that he got to play. Being intentional with your actions streamlines your focus. And now a new segment, providing resources from today's episode, which will also be linked on our website, exceptionalundergrads.com. The first one, Deep Work by Cal Newport, Focus by Pedram Shoai, and Atomic Habits by James Clear. Be sure to check those out on our website. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Exceptional Undergrads. We're always looking for new undergrads to showcase in future episodes. If you are or think you know someone who's an exceptional undergrad, please visit the Apply Here page on our website and fill out the application showcasing your talents. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review. And as always, stay exceptional.